Now, I think you'll be able to see some things here as we get into this a little bit more to see settle a few other arguments. In Romans 5:9, we shall be saved. In verse 10, we shall be saved again. In Philippians 2:12, it tells us this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Remember? Philippians 12. How many have heard that? Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, how can you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Because it tells you in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, if the gift of God is not of works, then how can you work out your own salvation? Make sense to you? You can't. It sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Philippians 2:12 says work it out. Ephesians 8:9 says you can't work it out.
The word work,
well, experience. You see what I'm talking about? Work it out. Or in this case, experience it. Now, how can you work out your salvation when it tells you you can't work it out? Well, the Philippians 2:12 salvation is for the soul, mind, intellect, will, and emotion. Did anybody here ever do anything good enough for Jesus to come in your heart? Huh? No. That's the one by grace you're saved through faith. Gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should what? Should boast. How many have also noticed that when you have an attitude change, it's because you've been working? Huh? Took a little work to get here tonight, didn't it? Study your Bible? Sing the songs? Go to church? Pray? Got to put out some effort, don't you? What realm changes as you continue to put out this effort? Your spirit? Absolutely not. It's your what?
Soul.
The soul changes. So the working out of your salvation is not in your spirit, it's in your soul, your mind, intellect, will, emotions, attitudes. These are the things that are changed. The heart isn't changed as we work it out, because the heart is already perfect. It's not by drinking milk, however. What makes the heart perfect? The blood of Jesus Christ. The supernatural axion. You wash your robe in the blood of Jesus, makes it perfectly clean. Better than any soap you can buy. Better than milk. Makes it whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us perfect. However, even though Jesus has already saved our spirits, we've noticed that our souls still need to be saved. And the scriptures indicate that the mind, soul, intellect, will, emotion, this mind thing up here is going through attitude changes. The attitude changes are brought to our mind by the engrafting of the Word, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the change in the mind. Hebrews 10:39 tells us that we believe to the saving of the soul. Do you believe? Yeah. To the saving of the soul indicates a progression. Believe to, continuing on to, the saving of the what? Soul. 1 Peter 1:22 says we have purified our what? Souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Thy word is what? Truth. So if you're going to obey the truth, you're going to obey the what? The Word of God. Through the what? Spirit. Through the Spirit. Well, if you're going to obey the Word of God through the Spirit, you purify your soul. It tells us you purify by the washing of the water of the Word. Washing of the water of the Word. What is purified? Spirit? No, it's soul, mind. The mind, as you go into the Word over and over again, is a purifying, washing experience. May I call it a mental catharsis? Yeah, come on, you know, isn't that right? That's what it is. It's a washing. It's a flushing. A mental catharsis. The washing of the water. And it cleanses. Cleans the mind. How many have had this experience? Knowing full well you got a dirty mind. The Holy Spirit then comes and takes the washing of the water of the Word. It cleanses you. And you're much better off. See? You're just purged. Okay. Washing the water of the Word. Now in James 1:21, I think that's one of the most significant scriptures to understand spirit, soul, and body. This is what it says. It says, you receive the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. Receive the engrafted Word. Meekness. Be meek. Receive the engrafted Word. It's able to save your soul. Not spirit. Soul. Now here's the hard part. One thing that I have a very difficult time to convey to people. I'm a Bible teacher. It's for that reason that I just can't change the attitude of people who haven't said yes to Jesus. Don't you understand? Yeah, you see. An evangelist is one who is sent to the masses to lead people to Jesus. Isn't that right? But a Bible teacher is working with the Word of God. And what kind of people is he working with? Those who have first said yes in the heart, and then the Word, the Bible, that's what we're teaching, becomes engrafted into the soul, mind, intellect of the person who's already said yes. But have you noticed that the things that I say are very extremely repulsive to some people? Yeah. Yes, they are. It just doesn't make sense. It's crazy. The Bible says the things that we teach are foolishness to the natural man. Isn't that right? Now, the natural man becomes supernatural when he receives Jesus in the heart. Then the things we say start to make sense. But they won't make sense until you've said yes to Jesus in the first place. It just won't work. However, I have noticed this, that some people sneaking in, hearing these words, even though they haven't said yes to Jesus, find themselves saying yes to Jesus because the unction. You know what I'm talking about? Their spirit bears witness that these things are right. And pretty soon they're saying yes to Jesus and getting saved even though we didn't call them to the altar in the first place. I was teaching at American University, the campus of American University in Washington, D.C. As I began to teach on prophecy, end time truths, had a lot of those college kids came to that class, and you know, a lot of them were never saved in the first place, and they never said yes to Jesus, but they got hooked. They got hooked on Jesus. You know why? Some things started to make sense. Some things started to fall into place. And pretty soon, they were up at the altar, just where they ought to have been, you know, taking the steps, because we got them. Set the hook. But in a general sense, a Bible teacher is sent to people who have already been hooked, who have already said yes to Jesus, and then these things will make sense. Now, after we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit then takes the Word of God and grafts it in our mind. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word. James 1:21, I think, is the most important verse. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. James 1:21 was written to people who were already saved. These guys that already said yes, Jesus. In fact, it tells you in James chapter 1 that this was the church. He wrote it to the church, those who were already received the right hand of fellowship, and they had been baptized the right way. And these guys were already just, you know, hunky-dory, everything was just fine. And it says, now receive the engrafted Word, the Bible, engrafted by the Holy Spirit, and it'll change your mind. It'll save your soul. That's the reason that we asked just a little while ago, how many are saved? You raise your hands. Then I said, how many get stupid thoughts? And it was the same guys. I might as well tell the truth. Every one of you that had the hands up first place, the same guys had it up second. Unless there might have been somebody that slipped through that I didn't notice. In which case, I'll pray for you. But that's what it's all about. The Holy Spirit is changing our minds, saving our souls from what we are to what we ought to be. Now, in Matthew chapter 10:28, you can actually destroy a soul, but I want to move on from that. There are scriptures that have to do with the body, and body salvation becomes important. In Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25, we want to get into some of those scriptures right now because these have to do with the salvation of the body, and the salvation of the body is for the future. I'm turning to Romans chapter 8, and we can start almost anywhere. But I guess I start reading here in verse 14. That's where I like to start. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we're going to start about the body. Now, if you don't think we're talking about the body, look down in verse 23. See down in verse 23, the last? What's it say? To wit, the redemption of our what? Body. I'm going to lead up to it. starting in verse 14. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. You want to be a son of God? All right, then be led of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is going to work on you, in what realm will the Spirit be working at the moment? Soul. Always the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit works on, it works on your remembrance. The Holy Spirit works on your mind, soul. So then the sons of God are being changed in their soul. Holy Spirit coming on the soul, changing the minds. They're being led by the Holy Spirit. 14, 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit adoption, whereby we cry, what's the next word? Abba, Father. You know what that means? Daddy. Word Abba means daddy. You see, once you begin to see that salvation is a very personal experience, and he's not, you know, a God that's got a big long beard, 10,000 miles away on a big throne. He's got 40 bolts of lightning. And every time I take a sidestep, he throws one at me. That's the way I used to think God was. Now he's daddy. See the difference? If he's daddy, he can climb up on his lap, right? He'll love you, take care of you, interested in every bit, whatever you got to say, whatever the concern is. He's concerned with what you're concerned. He's daddy. That's God. Anna, son of God, calls him daddy. Now, I do not recommend this for public prayer. I don't think the world's ready for you. Don't stand up. The next time they ask you to pray in Sunday school, please don't stand up and say, Daddy. Our daddy, which are... No, don't do it that way. I think you better just go the other way, because after all, the world's not ready for you. However, it's a personal experience. How many understand? It's very personal, very... And in your personal prayer life, it might be, well, to call him daddy. I've been traveling with some people who just plain refer to him as our daddy or our father. They talk about father. Father told me to do this and so forth. Father. All right. 16. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So be with, suffer with him, but also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, G-L-O-R-Y, doxa, which shall be revealed in us. Now, glory is always for the body. The sufferings that he's talking about are for the body. Verse 23, the whole subject is body, physical body. For the creature, wait a minute, verse 19, earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the what? Sons of God. Now, I'm going to try to connect this thought of manifestation of sons of God with when I believe it's going to occur. The manifestation of the sons of God will be when you can see a son of God in his body, physical body. You'll see the glory, the doxa, the ray, the aura, the light coming from a physical body. It's called a transfiguration. It's called a change. And it will be for the physical body. The manifestation of the sons of God, you'll see him in the body. And this is what it's talking about. For it says in verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creature. When it says creature, it does not mean grasshopper. It talks about a physical body. This creation, this creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's he waiting for? Well, it goes on two or three verses and he'll tell you. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. But how many have noticed you cannot, by taking thought, change one hair? Amen. Neither can you add a cubit? That's kind of funny. I don't know who to add 18 inches anyway. But, but you can't do that. You can't change that. You can't change your hair, not unless you go to the drugstore, get a few little things like that, and work them out. But it tells us that one of these days, by hope, is all going to be reversed. Now, the Bible says, even we ourselves, first fruits, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of this physical body. This physical body will be redeemed. Now, Peter said, in 1 Peter, he said, I have been saved in my spirit. My soul is being saved, but he said, there's another salvation. This is referred to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through about 9, something like that, and this is what he said concerning this. There is therefore, even though I'm not going to be saved in body. How do you know Peter knew that his body would not be saved? Didn't Jesus say, they're going to take your body where you would not. In 2 Peter, it tells us that Peter said, it's been shown me I'm going to die, even as the Lord has shown me. Bible students, shake your head, don't you remember? Yeah, Peter knew all about it. He said, his body would not be saved. He said, my spirit has been, my soul is being, but my body will not. He said, I'm not going to be saved in my body. But there is a salvation, a deliverance, that's reserved in heaven, that's ready to be revealed in the last day. A further deliverance, a further salvation, something beyond what Peter had. Peter had the keys of the kingdom. He understood all three. And he wrote about them in his book. All three salvations. Spirit, soul, and body. He said, I've had my spirit, I'm getting my soul, but I'm not going to get finished in my body. It's even been revealed to me as the Lord has said. But it will be revealed in the last day. The body salvation is going to be revealed in the last day. What day are we living in? Here we are. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. These are the last days. We're living in the time. The time is right. That's why a few years ago, when Grandma died, she didn't need to see these scriptures because she was in a former prior generation. You see? I don't find a fault with that. Nothing wrong with those guys. Absolutely nothing wrong at all. Because the revelation for the salvation of the body is for which days? Last days. Former days? Middle days? No. Say it. Last days. The revelation of the salvation of the bodies for the last days. Now, I'm going to leave the realm of Bible teaching for just a second and tell you a personal experience. When I was on that operating table, I left the body. God told me, now this is, you can take or leave a department, but he told me that every person he sends me to has the potential and the possibility of living to the day of the Lord when Jesus comes. These are the people that have this potential and possibility. You don't have to die. Not unless you want to. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. Everybody's doing it. It's you're going to live? Put her there, buddy. Praise God. Now, we're standing as candidates to be alive and remain in the coming of the Lord. I can't make you live, and you can't make me live, and I can't make me live, and you can't make you live. But you know what? Jesus can baptize you and me in the Holy Spirit, change our attitudes from what we are to what we ought to be, then cause us to conform to his own image. And if we keep on keeping on, you know, hang in there, baby, then these bodies will be saved. These physical bodies will be alive and remain in the coming of the Lord, and these bodies will not die. These bodies, let's see, I've noticed your hair, and your hair seems to be good and fluffy there, and you're not losing very much yet. Got a problem with your eyes. Your eyes got to, we got to get that straightened around, right? Yeah. And let's see now. He's a good-looking boy. Pretty fine boy. Can't see anything else wrong with him. Looks all right to me. I believe that he's a candidate to come in. But he's going to have to change. We're all going to have to change in our mind. I'm not finding fault with your mind. But we all, every one of us, got attitude changes that we have to go through. Because if we all had an immortal body, now what are we to seek? Glory, honor, and what? Immortality. And if we had an immortal body, and God, suppose Jesus came tonight, wouldn't it be neat? Well, now, wait a minute. Let's think of this. If Jesus came and brought you immortality tonight, with your present mind? You'd be dangerous. Come on, now, let's face it. You'd be a god. You would not possess the ability to die. And you'd be dangerous. You might be like, what's that guy named? James? He wanted to call fire down from heaven? Remember? I know what I'd do if I had my immortal body. If I, you know, had all those powers that we're going to have in a little while. You know the ones I'm talking about where you could be up in Samaria and all of a sudden you just zap like that and be down in the Gaza Strip. You know, Philip did that. you know, all this kind of stuff. If I had all these powers and I'd call fire down from heaven, you know, first thing I'd do, I'd find those guys been disagreeing with me. Hallelujah. I'd get them. I'd show them how to read. I'd show them the Bible. A couple of things. I'll tell you, they'd agree or they'd be fried to a crisp. All right. Isn't that the way we are? Come on now. Yeah, isn't that the way we are? Yes, sir, boy. If you're trying to build a church and you think only God can come to your denomination and he gave you an immortal body, you know what you'd do? You'd take your denominational papers out to every house and say, sign here. Huh? Or I'll give it to you right now. See? Wouldn't you? Come on now. That's the basic idea that we're dealing with right now. It's wrong. We got to get our attitudes changed. We got to have the mind of Christ. We have to conform to his own image. Right now, if you began to conform to his own image in the physical body, you'd be immortal. You couldn't die. If you couldn't die with your dumb head right now, you'd be dangerous. You'd be a bad God. You couldn't be a good God. So, the Holy Spirit's been working on our which realm? Soul, mind. For 2,000 years, getting rid of the carnal mind. Now, you know what carnal means, don't you? Carnal took a carnal mind. How many have heard that men, that the man is carnal? How many have heard of a carnal, carnal Christian, carnal mind? Carnal mind, you know, carny. Carney. What's that mean? It's some Spaniard. Meat. Meat. An Italian. Do we have any Italians here tonight? Carney means meat. So a carnal man is a meathead. Yeah. Meatheads. We're all meatheads. We're carnal. We're changing. Well, that's the good part. How many have heard of chili con carne? That's beans with meat. Con carne. Chili. So, we're meatheads. Carnal minds. Holy Spirit changing your mind. The only thing wrong with you is you're a meathead. The Holy Spirit isn't finished. The Holy Spirit's changing us from what we are to what we ought to be. Now, as candidates to stand for the manifestation of the sons of God, don't you see what that means? We have to stand as candidates. And whenever the commander says, I want 4 volunteers, you know what we have to do? All of us step forward. Got a picture? Constant stepping forward as candidates. Always volunteering for the next thing. Why? Because he's going to change our attitudes from what we are to what we ought to be. In other words, if you don't like me tonight, come back next week. I'm going to be better. That's what it's all about. I'm not as bad as I was. If I'm not as bad as I was, then I'm going to be better. He that has begun a good work in you is able to complete it, perform it. Praise God. So there's the answer. Keep on keeping on. Keep on changing. Changing in which realm now? Spirit? Where is it? Mind. Soul. Now, some have already noticed that as they continue to change their attitudes in their mind, their body starts to follow. There are people who have actually started physical body changes. Can I say getting younger instead of older? Because of a changed attitude. Because of a changed mind. Does this make sense to anybody? Listen, I've been teaching these things to doctors, eminent physicians, and everyone agrees. This guy's right. He's got something. This guy's right. Some of the nation's greatest physicians are hearing this teaching. The nation's greatest military aviator teaches these things. He's been in my classes. He's memorized the records. He goes out and teaches these things. The man has got more, what do they call this? ACE, so many shot down, all that. Nation's greatest. Some of the greatest men are attending our classes in Washington and around the country. I'm talking about men of renown. I could give you names, names that you know, that you've read. And they're attending these classes, and they said, this guy's right. Salvation didn't quit at the altar when Jesus came into my heart. Salvation didn't quit the day I spoke in tongues. There's more to salvation than all these kind of things. I've got to change in my attitudes till I have the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, then he can trust you with an immortal body. That's what it's all about. As soon as we get the mind of Christ, then we can have immortal bodies. So, we're standing as candidates. We're changing from what we are to what we ought to be. And our bodies are catching up. It tells us in Romans 8, 23, we're waiting for an adoption. That is, or to wit, the redemption of our body. That is the third salvation. That is the salvation that will end it all. That is the salvation which all of the angels and prophets of ages foretold have desired to look into. We started it with the salvation of our spirit. Jesus Christ, already the Lamb of God, saved my spirit at the Passover feast. There are three feasts of the Jewish year. These three feasts must be attended. Moses said, three times shall you appear before the Lord thy God. The feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of, say it, Tabernacles. Have you had Passover? What happened at Passover? The blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, Spirit saved, right? Every time the Scripture mentions this Passover, it's always past tense. It's done. It's finished. Jesus says it is finished on the cross. The blood is spilled. It's over with. Nothing more has to be done. Your salvation is by grace through faith. Nothing more has to be done for the Passover. Pentecost is next. That's the second feast, the second time man must appear before God. For the Pentecostal experience, Jesus, who entered the heart, now baptizes our soul into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then makes entry into our soul. When the Holy Spirit makes entry into our soul, he brings all things, whatever Jesus said, to our remembrance, mind. Are these scriptures fitting? And friend, you'll find out that all through the Bible. The Bible, if you get this spirit, soul, body idea, will be brand new book. Absolutely brand new. When you see that everything that's spoken of must be referenced in one frame or the other. Sometimes the references are to the spirit. Sometimes to the soul, sometimes to the body. All you got to do is read it, figure out which it is, and you'll find out it makes sense. Everything that's past tense is always for the spirit. Everything that's present, progressive tense, is for the what? And that which is hope or future tense is always for the body. It says, we shall become, we shall enter, in the future, hope. All these scriptures have to do with the body. Present, progressive, has to do with the soul. Past tense, Passover, Jesus, Spirit, finished. Present tense, Pentecost, Holy Ghost, saving my mind, soul. Future tense, what's the tabernacle? Feast of Tabernacles. That ought to be a clue right there. We should start thinking in terms of the Feast of Tabernacles. We should start studying and preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles. If you don't believe it, well, when they were preparing for the Feast of Pentecost, they were all in one place and all in one accord. You remember that? Then the Holy Spirit came, and Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith the Lord, he'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You remember all this? I don't think that he all of a sudden got that by revelation. I think the Holy Spirit brought it to his remembrance. So that means he knew it before. He'd been studying, been preparing, been watching out for what might happen during the Feast of Pentecost. So it is with the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe at the Feast of Tabernacles, we should be making an overt act, actually seeking glory, seeking honor, seeking immortality. Not just waiting for it, but actively seeking it. Standing as candidates, admitting that we don't have it, but doing active, overt acts so that when he says, all the volunteers step forward, boy, you don't wait, you just move. You got the idea? Making overt acts, doing something to express, you know, not just giving mental assent to it. It's not going to work just to give mental assent and say, well, the tabernacle thing comes and I'll be ready for it. No, you've got to be doing overt acts. Now, some of the overt acts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I think you ought to write this one down. It says, present your bodies unto the Lord, wholly acceptable, which is a reasonable service, and be ye transformed. What is transformed? Spirit, soul, or body now? What did you just present? Your body. The body is transformed. The method of transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. See? All right. The renewing of the mind will transform the body. The process, then, for getting rid of your gray hair is to change your mind. The process to get rid of your bursitis and your arthritis and those kind of things is to change your mind. You don't have to have it. As long as you believe you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Change your mind. The renewing of your mind is going to give you a new body. On and on the scriptures go, and most are aware of the fact that there's a lot of scriptures on that realm. Here's one that I think is a real good one. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all, with open face, write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with open face, you got it, beholding as in a glass, what's that? What's a glass? A mirror. The glory of the Lord are changed into that same image. From glory unto glory, even by the same Spirit. Let's do that again. And we all. And we all. Here we are. See? Look at him around. And we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see that? There's the... oh, boy. There's the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't do that. You don't believe that. Well, you're either going to... If you're going to believe it, you're going to have to act on it. If you don't believe it, I think you ought to cut it out. I really think you ought to cut it out of your Bible. If you don't believe it, I think you ought to take some scissors right now and just cut it out. But if you believe it, I think you ought to act on it. Now, how do you act? Every time you go to the mirror, I challenge you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to go to the mirror and look at the mirror and say, hallelujah. Oh, blessed is the glory of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I sure am glad it's going from glory to glory. There's the glory of the Lord. Would you look at it? There it is. Yeah, being changed from glory to glory. Isn't that right? So there it is. It's Christ in
you,
the hope of glory. Christ where?
In you.
Christ in... There he is. Look at him. There's the Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I look at you, I see the Christ. Praise God. When I look at you, I see the Christ. I see the Christ in you. I see the Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. Do you see it? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't you know that a lot of people actually die because they don't discern the Lord's body? Many are asleep. Many are sickly and many are asleep because they can't discern the Lord's
body.
Well, where's the Lord's body? We are members of the Lord's body. Members in particular, each joint supplying the need of the other. This is the body of Christ. Here it is right now. And as I receive your ministry, as you receive my ministry, we strengthen each other and the job gets done. Because this is the body of Christ. Here it is right now. Now, if we don't discern the body of Christ, if I can't see Christ in you, the hope of glory, don't you know what's going to happen? If I can't see Christ in you, I can't receive your ministry. If I don't receive your ministry, that means I don't receive your strength. And if I don't receive your strength, I've got to... I gotta die. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need every person here. You need me. You need every other part of this body of Christ. And without this body, each joint, each part supplying the need of the other, we might end up like a wild olive tree that was grafted in and then cut off because it wasn't producing fruit. Dying. But I'm going to receive from you. I'm going to receive your ministry. I'm going to love you. You're going to love me. I'm going to minister to you. You're going to minister to me. We're going to meet each other's needs as the body of Christ. You see it? And then we won't have to die. We'll live. We'll change. Not being what we are, but being what we ought to be. Giving and receive ministry. Some can minister in one realm, some in another realm. We had the lesson last night, or last time, about ministry, right? We found out every one of us are ministers in one realm or another. God made us ministers. Made us ministers in one realm or another. Every person here has a ministry. Don't tell me you don't, because God said you do. It's that simple. So all kinds of ministers. You remember the list we gave. Even the lady who could only give. You remember the lady that only had a little penny? What was that? Mite, the widow's mite. She had the gift of giving. And the word gift is charisma. She had the charisma. And Jesus recognized it right away and said, look, that lady there has the charisma, and that gift is worth more than that $1,000 worth of gold that big guy just gave. Remember? Because he didn't have the charisma. She gave it with a gift. And you can give a penny in an offering and be just as great and important to the kingdom of God. You know, if that's your thing. Oh, by the way, we're not encouraging pennies. But how many understand that you can be just as much of the part of the body of Christ as catechumen if it's your ministry to give a penny? Now, come on now. That's it. You got to see it. Yeah.
So
we're not, we can't measure in the natural realm, but the fact is that she could be just as important to the kingdom as a woman like Catherine Kuhlman, with thousands in attendance, great miracles in her ministry. And we're not downing Catherine Kuhlman. Neither are we raising this lady higher than she ought to be, because Jesus said it's all the body of Christ, each joint supplying each other's need. Isn't that wonderful? That sounds like God.
Whatever your ministry is, give it all you've got.
Dude,
give all
yeah.
You've got. Give
yeah. That's the idea. That's what we're talking about. The ministry of the body of Christ. Now, when I pray for your spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? I'm expecting you in the future to go through every change necessary to be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. Will you stand with me while we pray? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we trust you, Lord, for the changes necessary, that every one of us standing as candidates for these great changes will go through from glory unto glory, not staying where we are, not acting like we do, but changing into that which you would have us to be. Lord, we pray for the future, that every one of us in the future will have the minds of Christ, conformed to his own image. We trust right now, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that by the Spirit everyone will agree that every spirit, every soul, and every body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus at Passover saved my spirit. Holy Ghost at Pentecost saves my soul. God at Tabernacle saves my body. Jesus is the Holy Spirit takes us through the outer And when we go through the inner veil, we go into the presence of the Father. In the court, that's what we call the salvation experience, what we call Baptist. At the Holy Spirit, He takes us into the holy place. That's what we call Methodist or Armenian doctrine. And going into the presence of the Father, that takes us into the Holy of Holies. That's kind of like righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus is my righteousness. The Holy Spirit brings, and then I have my joy. You got the picture here. That's like blood, anointing, and fruit, or blood, oil, and wine. Blood is Jesus. Oil is the, and wine is the, I don't know where you caught that, but you get joy when you got the wine. And then we have circumcision, bar mitzvah, and because when I see three times, he has to appear at the temple, once for his circumcision, once for his, and once for his, you see, circumcision is where you get the blood, bar mitzvah is where you get the commencement, you leave one area, go to the next, and then you become mature, or enter in. See, marriage is an entering in, a union. That's when you enter in. See, the word Holy of Holies is really the secret place in the Most High, and the word secret place is the womb, womb of God. You enter in. That's why you got marriage over here. Am I making sense to you on this? And go. Egypt. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is Egypt. Please don't misunderstand me. But in the relationship of Egypt, wilderness, and promised land, you can understand what I'm talking about. You come out of Egypt in through the, into the promised land. Well, by the same token, leeks and garlic, you know, some people are perfectly satisfied with leeks and garlics. That's why the Baptists say, what do you want to mess around with these guys for? Go on now, really. They're perfectly satisfied back here. But then they go on into the manna. See, that's supernatural. That's Holy Spirit. But I want to show you something else about this. When you leave the leeks and garlics and go into the Holy Spirit or manna idea, then when you leave the manna, which is supernatural provision, then you go into the what? Fruit of the land. And here's something you got to see. The closer you get to leaving what I'll call the Pentecostal experience, the fewer supernatural miracles there are. Because when you get to the fruit of the land, you got to dig your own ditches. You got to plant your own seeds. And you eat the product of your own effort. How many of all have noticed already that coming first into the Pentecostal blessing, that place was cram-packed full of miracles? Remember? Then as you began to mature, finally, there were fewer and fewer of the supernatural provisions of the manna, and you found out as you're crossing this line into the fruit of the land that pretty soon you have to eat the fruit of your own labors. How many have already noticed that, you see? Well, this is progression, see? That's the same like the bar mitzvah and marriage. It's progression. Okay? Try another one. Faith, faith and works and hope. We already have that one tonight, see? You're saved by faith over here in this column, but here in the second column is faith and works, combination, and finally over here is by hope. See, these are all common in that idea. Now let's try this one. Here's another one for the Bible student. Moses, Joshua, and Judges. Remember the three guys, the bosses? Moses, he starts the work. Joshua takes you through the wilderness, isn't that right? Into the promised land, and then you're in the Judges. See? So if you interrelate these things, you can see always, constantly, three steps. How many have seen three steps, no matter where we look? Three steps in the Bible. Try this one. Saul, David, and Solomon. Who's the first king? David was the Pentecostal king. In fact, the 120 met in the upper room, and the upper room was on top of David's tomb, wasn't that right? On top of David's tomb is the upper room, because we always associate David with Pentecost. David is the Pentecostal king. For he was the one that led him through the wilderness. He was the one that fought for the kingdom. Isn't that right? But after David fought for the kingdom, it was his son, what? Solomon, who led him into peace. Isn't that correct? He was the king of peace. Try another one. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. Jesus is the what? Lamb, sheep, lamb of God. The lost coin, it was a woman that lost it. For Pentecost is always woman, feminine. And the lost coin, I mean the lost son, that's the son. You see, the returning of the son. So what did he get? What did the son get? He got a ring for his finger, fatted calf, robe, shoes. Wouldn't you call that body salvation?
For a free catalog of Bible teaching tapes, send your name and address with zip code to David E. Ball Bible School,